We read first in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Mark 4 and verse 35. And on that day, when evening was come, he says to them, "Let us go over to the other side." And having sent away the crowd, they take him with them, as he was in the ship. But other ships also were with him. And there comes a violent gust of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it already filled. And he was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. And they wake him up, and say to him, "Teacher, dost thou not care that we are perishing?" And waking up, he rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Silence, be mute." And the wind fell, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you thus fearful? How is it that you have not faith?" And they feared with great fear, and said one to another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and sea obey him?" And now in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10 and verse 19. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness for entering into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus, the new and living way which he has dedicated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And having a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart and full assurance of faith, sprinkled as to our hearts from a wicked conscience, washed as to our body with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of the hope unwavering, for he is faithful who has promised. And let us consider one another for provoking to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the custom is with some, but encouraging one another, and by so much the more, as ye see the day drawing near." And then just a reference in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11. "All these things then, being to be dissolved, what ought ye to be in holy conversation and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, by reason of which the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements burning with heat shall melt. But according to his promise we await for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, as you wait for these things, be diligent to be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, on account of the long suffering of our Lord, to be salvation." So, Colin remarked on how long it is since we've been together on such occasions. And I suppose for most of us, if not all of us, the last 2 years have been a difficult time. Indeed, how many times have we heard the word unprecedented? I don't think ever in church history has there been a time in which worldwide churches were ordered to close, when we couldn't meet together, when we couldn't enjoy the Lord's Supper together. The question is, where are we now? What effect has this time had on us? And I would like just to refer to three things that could or should have happened. And the first is that we should have a deeper appreciation of the glory of our Saviour, who has cared for us, protected us, and provided for us, as he always will. We should have a greater appreciation of one another that we've been given to share these things with, and of the liberty that we have to gather to enjoy these things. And we should be alerted as to the nearness of the Lord's return. This incident in Mark is recorded in all the Synoptic Gospels, and it afforded the disciples an opportunity to find out something about the Lord that they never knew before, or might never have known. And the Lord does that sometimes in our lives, that he intervenes in certain ways. He brings in certain things that we might learn something about him, The glory of who he is, the glory of his love, his care, his protection. If they were to find out the glory of a creator, the one who had power over the wind and the waves. This is our Saviour. This is Jesus. This is how great he is, you know. But they were to find out before that a touching glimpse of his humanity. Think of the reality of the Lord's humanity. That after a whole day of teaching, it was the evening. He was tired. He was sleeping in the boat. Think of the humanity of Christ, the reality of it. You know, it's because of that that he could be our great high priest. Because there's no situation that any one of us could go through that he's not been through as a man. That's why he can support us in such a real way, you know. Study the manhood of Christ is worthwhile for every one of us. How precious it is, you know. But here, he's sleeping. He's sleeping on the in the rear of the boat. Now you people here know a lot more about boats than I do. But he was sleeping, I believe, I understand, on the helmsman's cushion. That's where the helmsman sat. Do you think the Lord was any time out of control here? Not a bit of it. Never. You think of the chaos around us in the world, you know. You think the Lord, his hand is not over all. Of course it is. It's over the very detail of our lives. Over the very detail of men's lives. Men think they can do what they like, but it will be thus far and no further. Here he is, sleeping, and they wake him up. This great storm, you know. These men were used to storms. Many of them were fishermen. What a challenge this is, you know, for each one of us. Because what happened here is that their fear replaced their faith. And you know, that's happened to us at times, hasn't it? It happened to Elijah. It happened to Peter. It's happened to most of us at some time or another. Where faith in the Lord has been replaced by fear. That's what he says to them. Why are you thus fearful? Why, how is it that you have not faith? You know, what a test this is. I spoke to a young believer that we had dealings with in business. And he goes to a Christian fellowship in Perth. And I asked him at the beginning of last year how they were getting on. And he said, you know this, I've been shocked at the fear that is in believers. I've been shocked. Why are believers fearful? You can understand it if you had no link with the Lord Jesus. If you had no hope beyond things here, people had every right to be fearful. People are still fearful. I talked to my neighbour yesterday. He's just past 80 and he's terrified of getting COVID. People have no hope beyond death, but that's not the case for believers. We have faith in Christ. Why are you thus fearful? I'm not advocating carelessness or irresponsibility, but I'm advocating faith in our Lord and Saviour. I think this is important, you know, because I don't think this is an isolated incident that we've gone through. The Lord Jesus speaks in Matthew 24 of the beginning of throes, the beginning of throes, and he mentions pestilences, not one. That means beginning of throes means birth pangs. That's what it means. That's what the Lord was talking about. And those of our children will know that it begins slowly, but it increases in intensity and regularity. I believe that's where we could be. Things could get very choppy ahead, but we have one who cares for us, who never stops caring for us. You know, he said to them in Matthew, all power has been given to me in heaven and upon earth. And then he said, I am with you all the days until the completion of the age. There's never been a day in the last 2 years when the Lord has not been with us, when he's not been aware of our circumstances. Paul says to the Philippians that he has power to subdue all things to himself. Do we believe that? Dost thou not care? You ever felt like that? You ever felt like your prayers were not getting answered? That the Lord was not coming in to your circumstances the way he thought he should? You ever felt like that? Do you know how valuable you are to the Lord Jesus? As a believer, do you know how valuable you are? Not only because he died for you, he loved you so much that he was prepared to die for you, and now he lives for you. But more than that, as if that wasn't enough, you're the Father's gift to Christ. Have you thought about that? Every believer is the Father's gift to Christ. How he would take care of that gift, you know. As to those thou hast given me, I have lost none of them. Not one, except the son of perdition. The Lord has never lost any of his own, and he never will. That's my Saviour. That's Jesus. But these things find us out, don't they? We're tested. If we're honest, we're tested. An American pastor told of a humbling experience that he had. He was on an internal flight in the States, and the plane went into a very severe period of turbulence, and it was thrashing from side to side and up and down, and people were screaming. And he looked across, and there was a little girl in the aisle opposite, sitting reading her book, completely unaware of what was going on. So he resolved to speak to her when they landed, and he did. And he asked her why she was so calm. And she said, my daddy is a pilot, and he was taking us home. What a rebuke. Don't forget who the pilot is. Jesus, Saviour, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown waves before me roll, hiding rock and treacherous shoal. Chart and compass come from thee. Jesus, Saviour, pilot me. Never forget who's in charge. Never forget who you can turn to at any time. Never forget who has your interests at heart, who loves you and cares for you in ways that you don't even understand. That's my Saviour, you know. Silence be mute. Who then is this? Who then is this? Power over the waves, power over the wind, power over everything. You know, divine love will never place you in a place that divine grace can't reach you. Remember that. We've been through difficult times. We may yet be through difficult times, but the Lord will never let us down. You know, we've let him down, haven't we? I feel challenged. We've let one another down as well, if we're honest. But I think we need a time to value one another. To value the Lord's work in one another. To appreciate the great things of God that we can share with one another. Christian fellowship is vital to Christian life. It's no good us all sitting at home, you know. That's what Satan wants. He scatters. The Lord gathers, but Satan scatters. That's what he wants us all sitting at home and not able to share the great things of God. There's nothing like coming together to encourage and build up one another, you know. I think we took that for granted. I think we prayed regularly on Monday night for those who couldn't meet like we could. And then when it was taken away, we realised how valuable it was. Who could have imagined that we wouldn't be able to come together? That we wouldn't be able to share the Lord's Supper? I know there's been technological advances, but no technology can take the place of coming together and sharing the Lord's things. And I think in Hebrews, the whole thrust of what the apostle is saying is in the plural. Boldness, having therefore, brethren, boldness for entering into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus. You know, this liberty has been won for us at tremendous cost. The blood of Jesus, the death of Jesus. That's how valuable it is that we could approach, that we could come into the Lord's presence, that we could come into the Father's house. But we come in, you know, together. We come in to share these things with others. Think of the psalmist who could say, I rejoiced when they said to me, let us go up into the house of Jehovah. You know, we've seen this worked out practically, where persons locally have not felt like coming out to the meeting for one reason or another, but they've come out and had their spirits lifted. It's a great blessing. That the way has been opened up through the death of Christ for us to come together and share this. And it's through his flesh, you know, the veil was taken away in the gospel, but the veil's still here in Hebrews. We need the manhood of Christ to support us in this sphere. We cannot go without Christ. Shows how important he is. He speaks of him as son of having a great high priest over the house of God. So as we come together, we need the service of Christ at that time. But then everything that prevents us enjoying these things has been taken away by the Lord Jesus. And we can enter in and we can share these things together. Let us hold fast the confession of hope unwavering. For he is faithful, who has promised. You know, he's never let us down. None of the promises that have been made have ever been gone back on. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Never. Let us consider one another. Let us value one another. Let us appreciate the work of God in one another. For provoking, not to anger, not to irritation, but to love and to good works. Think of the encouragement that can come about through being together with the Lord's people. And Paul says in Hebrews 14, I think it is, that pursue the things which tend to peace, the things whereby one will build up or edify another. You know, it's a great matter to be exercised about encouraging one another. You know, we need it, don't we? We need to be encouraged in these days and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You know, let us increasingly value the opportunities we have to come together and share the Lord's things with one another. Share the Lord's Supper. You know, what a mess that was. To know the blessedness being drawn together by the love of Christ. Each one of us there because we love him. And to know the blessedness of being led in the service of praise by the minister of the sanctuary. What a blessing that is. May we value it as we're left here until the Lord comes. May we pray that it will be maintained to us through his mercy. And so much the more as you see the day coming near, we should be alerted as to the nearness of the Lord's return. Peter's been speaking about many things in this letter. He's been occupying the saints with the glory of Christ. You know, there'll be many days in Peter's life, in these 3.5 years, that he would reflect on. Must have been an amazing thing to accompany the Lord. But I think this incident on the Mount must have stood out. Because there, he saw the glory. Saw the glory of Christ. Brethren, if we're going to be maintained in faithfulness to him, we need a glimpse of the glory. We need our eyes lifted to where he is. You know, this thing has brought division in amongst believers. We need to get our eyes back on Christ. All of us. I think Christian life would be a lot simpler if our eyes were fixed on the man in the glory. Peter saw the glory. I think he gained more from reflection, perhaps, than he did at the time. That's a great thing about reflecting on the glory of Christ. The Spirit is given that it might grow with us, that we might have a deeper and greater appreciation of his glory. It's not seen here, we're living in a world that is obsessed with the glory of our own man. That's what we're living in. And Peter's asking the question, how are you going to live in such a condition of things? How are you going to live? How are you going to be? Noah lived a godly life in obedience to God in the face of such wickedness. So did Daniel. Lot, less so. We learn a lot about Lot, perhaps more about Lot in the New Testament. We're thankful for it. But Lot was in the gate at Sodom. That means he was in the seat of government. I think Lot was hoping to make things better, to try and improve things. And I think believers are hoping to do that, to make the world a better place. The world is coming under judgment. The world made its choices, and it now must take the consequences. Shut God out. Shut the Lord Jesus out. Man wants the world for himself. Where is the promise of his coming? Things have just gone on since the creation. Since the start, things have just gone on. No, they haven't. Peter points that out. God reduced the population of the world to 8 souls. Things have not gone on. God intervened in Sodom and Gomorrah, having dragged Lot out. God will intervene again. Peter's speaking about the day of the Lord coming as a thief. The day of the Lord is what we speak of as the millennium. The coming day. The world to come. He'll come as a thief. There'll be no further warning. The warning's been given. These events will start with the rapture of the saints. The church is not going through the tribulation. It's absolutely clear from 2 Thessalonians 2. He who restrains and that which restrain will be taken away, and then the man of sin will be revealed, the lawless one. The church will be in glory, but there's no further warning. the day of the Lord, and then the day of God, eternity, new heavens, new earth. These things are in the heart of the believer. So how are we to live our lives? What ought you to be in holy conversation and godliness? I think it's going to get increasingly difficult for believers. I think it's going to get increasingly difficult for the teachers, for the nurses, for people who are working in public service, for people who are employing persons. Things are going to get difficult. The Lord knows all about it, you know. The events that Peter's speaking about and the events that will happen in the tribulation cast a shadow back. They cast a shadow back. We're seeing incidents of anarchy. We're seeing incidents of what Paul described as men being lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Difficult times shall be there. Peter's speaking about the end days that mockers will come. But in the face of all that, what is true to Christ will go through as preserved and protected by him. Let us not look around. I know we're overly occupied with what's happening around us. We're overly occupied with man's attempts to create a world in which he is God. A one world government, a one world religion. These things are all being talked about, making way for the man of sin. But there's one coming whose right it is to reign. The one, it may wait until that time, until we fully appreciate the glory of Christ. When the knowledge of that glory will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. What a day that will be, when none shall say, "Know the Lord," for all shall know him. And we shall be with him forever. We shall be in eternal conditions as with him. But what a wandering universe will see as the Lord takes up the reins of government. No maladministration then, you know. Interesting, they're speaking about starvation in the African countries that will rely upon Ukrainian grain. Do you know one of the biggest killers in the tribulation will be starvation? These days are very soon coming. The coming of the Lord is very near. What would you do if you knew he was coming tonight or tomorrow? How would your life be? Would you not want to be faithful to him while you wait his return? Would you not like to have your eyes fixed on the man in the glory, looking off unto Jesus, the leader and completer of faith? That's how we ought to be. We ought to have our eyes opened to see the glory that belongs to Christ and how great he is. And let us see that our faith is kept strong. You know, faith is not concerned with the outcome. Faith is concerned and fixed on the one who controls the outcome. The three men, Daniel's three friends, they said, "The Lord whom we serve is able to protect us." He is able. But if not, if it's not his will, we'll not bow down. As persons are not concerned about the outcome, because their faith is in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? To have that kind of strength. To be here, as Paul could say to the Philippians, as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation. If it was like that then, what's it like now? We can't make things better, but we can stand up for what's right. May we be encouraged to do so. Be diligent to be found of him in peace. Found of him in peace. You know, peace is not the absence of trouble. It's the presence of Christ. Remember that. peace is to be found in the presence of Christ. May we prove it increasingly in what days we have left for his name's sake. Amen.